back.
And we're back. We're back.
Yeah. I have a metal water bottle because I left my other, the one that I usually use, somewhere else. So just beware of the noises it may make.
Or you just
beware. I am. And don't make I'm not going to put it down while I'm speaking, but.
Okay.
I just wanted to say it now.
Well,
so the collective knows.
Well, I'm editing this week, so I'll really go through and I will edit minute silence.
Like, minute silences.
Silences into it.
Should you know what I'm gonna do after this though? This has to do with what I said the last episode. That's why I'm saying it now. I'm gonna start reading A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Yay!
I have to finish it by Thursday, but that gives me 400 pages, and that gives me tonight, tomorrow night, the next night, and then the day after work. So
you have to read like 100 pages a day almost?
Yeah.
Oh.
On top of my schoolwork. Okay. But I'm determined.
Okay, I believe in you. After Blood and Ash, I feel like you can.
Yeah,
do
me
it.
Too. That book really changed things for us. Fine.
It really did.
Yeah. Yeah. My question for the group this week is, should Emily and I buy love tarot readings from a guy we already got a tarot reading from?
I think we should. Guys, sponsor that for us.
Guys, don't give us any money.
Don't give us money.
Shout out to Tarot by Johnny, though. We love him.
Oh my god, Tarot by Johnny. I don't know if you could tell that me and Skylar did general readings for ourselves because we both mentioned this podcast.
And each other's names. We were like,
and each other's
podcast
names.
Podcast with my friend Emily. Podcast with my friend Skylar.
Oh my god. I like, if I was him, I'd be like, wait a second.
The readings?
Do these two girls now?
Oh my god. The readings were like the same though. So like, that's just proof that like.
Yeah.
I mean, they said different things, but it was like the same gist.
Yeah, for the podcast. Yeah. Guys, we looked up our podcast birth chart.
Oh yeah.
That was so interesting.
Wait, what? She was a Virgo. She's a Virgo. Like me, queen.
She's a Virgo. There's some Pisces stuff in there, isn't there?
Oh, I don't remember that.
All right, what is it?
She's a Virgo with a Leo moon, a Libra Mercury, a Leo Venus, an Aries Mars, which that's my favorite placement, cuz go queen, go bad bitch, go. And then a Capricorn Jupiter, a Capricorn Saturn. Taurus Uranus, Pisces Neptune, Pluto Capricorn.
Okay, so she shares your sun, she shares my moon.
My Mercury.
Freaky. Yeah.
My Venus. So and then she's an Aries Mars, which neither of us have. But still fire Mars, and we both have fire Marses, so.
Exactly.
So little queen.
Anyways. Welcome back to Let's Talk About It. I'm Emily.
I'm Skylar. Wow, we flipped it that time.
I know, sorry, I just kind of, I felt the moment,
yeah.
And I just decided to do the intro.
Yeah, I get you.
I just did. Welcome to this week's episode. This week we watched American Psycho in our series of overrated movies.
Yeah, shout out to Meg, she DM'd us and told us to watch it. We love you. Every time we get a suggestion, I pee myself and scream, and I like bombard whoever sends us a message with like all caps letters, and I'm like, thank you so much.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. It was on our list, but we again, it was a Friday and we had no idea what we were doing this week, and Meg really pulled through.
Meg,
so thanks, Meg.
We love you,
we really appreciate you.
Also just proof that if you message us, we'll do anything you say, because someone else commented and was like, you guys should give us video of the podcast. And Emily and I are like, okay, next week we're doing that. So next week, expect video.
Expect video. The audio might suffer slightly because it will be on Zoom, but that's fine. Because it's going
to
be a friggin'
video.
You're
going to get
to... And we'll post it on our YouTube.
You're going to get to see our beautiful faces.
Oh my god. Guys, I record in, like, this weird spot. So it's going to, like, it's going to look really weird. I know. It's going to look really weird behind me. I'm sorry about that. But let's get into this movie because...
Get into it, yeah.
Exactly. Because this movie, I watched it with my friend who had read the book. So when I was a little bit confused, she would, like, fill in some blanks for me. But other than that, this was my first time watching
mine
it.
Too.
This was your first time
yeah,
watching
it? Yeah, and I didn't even know it was a book until after I watched the movie and I was, like, looking stuff up about it.
Yeah, me neither.
Which, that made a lot more sense afterwards.
Yeah. So, Skylar, mm-hmm. what jumped out at you? What are your first initial thoughts?
My first initial thought is that I didn't hate it, which is always my yeah. first question to myself after I finish the movie. And, like, did I hate that? No. It's not my favorite. I think Fight Club is still my number one of these movies that we've watched so far.
Yeah.
But this one's yeah. probably number two, because it was better than the other two that we watched.
It's above Wolf of yeah. Wall Street 110%, oh, yeah. and it's also above Pulp Fiction 110%. I agree.
I do actually think this movie was kind of funny.
Kind of funny.
Like, there was jokes in there.
Yeah, no, I did laugh at some point. I laughed when Patrick Bateman brought his secretary Jean back to his apartment and was telling her, like, Ted Bundy, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, who's Ted Bundy? And his face falls. And then, like, that almost is like he decides not to kill her.
I know.
That. Like, which is so funny. Yeah, I agree. I thought this is not important. Christian Bale looked so
yeah, what?
Good in this movie.
Why did he look so Which cute was, like that?
It was definitely intentional. Yeah. Like, it was completely intentional. Yeah. But, like, I wasn't mad at it.
No,
like,
he looked good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. I agree. I kind of liked his haircut a
also,
lot.
He's... Me too. Also, he's British, which I forgot because his American accent was so good in this movie. Yeah, he's literally a British person.
Stop! It always, like, no, messes me up British. So much when I find out people that I think, like, I've only seen in American roles are British.
I okay. know. He's British.
Okay.
Absolutely. I need to stop touching my hair. Sorry.
Well... Yeah, I think, yeah, he definitely was intentionally casted to be handsome. I saw an article, I didn't read it, though. Yeah. Apparently they were thinking about casting Leonardo DiCaprio in this role.
Would
but the director, like, was like, no. Which I agree with, but I think they probably did that because he's handsome. Or was handsome.
In, like, 2000, yeah. But I also don't think Leonardo DiCaprio could play, like, the yuppie
no.
part of it.
No, he would not.
I don't think he couldn't play the sinister, like... doesn't care about no. the consequences of he just wouldn't he's not as I don't think a, I think specifically it's because he's blonde. I don't think a blonde actor would have worked in this role. I don't know why.
Oh my god, no, it's kind of true. I feel like he played he was the Wolf of Wall Street and that was enough for him. Like, you can only be in so many film bros movies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, but another fun fact, and then we'll
get into it,
analysis of it. But I watched this with my friend, and who is a boy, and at one point, he was watching it, and he was like, is this satire? And I was like, yes. Keep being curious. Keep asking questions. I'm so glad you noticed
that. When men critically think.
Yeah. I was, like, surprised. I was like, oh, my God. Like, I knew that it was satirial because... it's so obviously a satire of, like, the yuppie business mogul corporate America period of time in the 80s. And I was, like, so glad that he asked that question because I was like, I don't know if he's going to know that.
No, because men need to ask questions when they watch these movies.
Because it's men that don't ask questions that go and think that Patrick Bateman, just like Tyler from Fight Club, is, like, the man of all men, and, like, that conversation that him and his colleagues have towards the end of the movie, saying, like, no girl has a good personality. Yeah. The only girls that do have good personalities are ugly girls. Like, all of this stuff. Like, they have to be the perfect combination of a slut and, like, not a slut and, like, all of that stuff. So I just thought that filled me with a little bit of hope for my girlfriend.
Oh, my God, yeah. Because that's just, like, what we talk about. We're, like, when movies try to be satirical about these topics, like toxic masculinity and, like the upper class, there's a, parody kind of tends to, like, make fun of it, but in a way that's subtle enough that, like, you could also see it as romanticizing it.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people watch this movie and they're like, yeah, it's a funny movie, but also like, it's so cool that he's so rich and he gets away with all this murder and he gets to like use these prostitutes and like do whatever he wants.
Right. Oh, he's so powerful. Yeah. And like, what a good example of a powerful man.
Like, he's
man.
So cool. He just does what he wants. I feel yeah. like every guy is like, he does what, like, I remember one time I was talking to a guy who was talking about how he watched Jake Paul, and I was like, why do you watch Jake Paul? And he was like, he's yeah. like, I know he's a bad person, but this was a while ago too, like before some more reason stuff, but it was, he was like, mm-hmm. I like that he just does what he wants and he doesn't care. And I was like, that's the bar. He does what he wants and doesn't care. Okay.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's pretty clear that they're like, especially with the business card scene.
Oh my God.
Which is like one of the most like, iconic scenes from that mm-hmm. movie out of like many mm-hmm. when they're all showing their business cards and they're all like slightly different,
so
but they're
funny.
Basically just white cards with like black or gray lettering on mm-hmm. them, and then like the sweating and the sense of competition between each other, like, and when that guy, the character that's gay mm-hmm. I forget his name, comes in with his new business card and has like colored letters, and Patrick goes to the bathroom to try and kill him and then like doesn't because the guy thinks he's
yeah yeah
or whatever, like I think it just encapsulates like the entire theme
yeah
of like the movie.
Yeah,
I thought it was very interesting.
I thought it was very clear that it was satire from one the very beginning when he's like, I put an ice mask on my face every day if I'm looking a little, yeah. What does he say, like, puffy? I was gonna say bloated.
Yeah.
But also, what about, like, the laundry scene where he's like, it's crayon apple! Like, who thinks...
Yeah.
That made me laugh. I'm just in a silly, goofy mood.
Yeah, I thought, like... Also, that was such a good introduction to showing us that he was, like, killing these mm-hmm. women. Because you see him... picking, like, talking to that woman on the street, and then the immediate next shot is like bloodstained yeah. sheets and he's like yelling at people. I also thought there was what I was describing in my notes as like Fleabag moments where he was speaking what he was thinking.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it was like really terrible stuff, like calling women like dumb bitches
yeah, yeah.
and sluts. But then like I think one of the most like interesting or sort of just like punny, like smart ways that they did that was the scene towards the end where he's talking to that blonde model at the club and she's like, what do you do? And he says, what does he say, like murder
execution
and she goes, do you like it? Because the guys that I know that do mergers acquisitions.
Yes.
Job.
Yes.
I was like, that's so smart.
That's why I actually thought this movie was funny, because there were like the yeah. dialogue was actually, unlike Pulp Fiction,
right.
the dialogue was actually funny and interesting. Like, there are definitely parts of this movie where I was like, why am I here? Why am I watching this? This is too slow.
Yes.
It's taking too long. Completely. I don't get why this is happening. But the dialogue Completely. Was funny enough at points that I was like still enjoying it.
Yeah, and I think Christian Bale has like such a good performance in this mm-hmm. movie, because he really plays up like that archetype, that character.
Oh my God, yeah.
of Patrick Bateman, and like his facial expressions and his intonations and just like his tone of voice, like, is really just like, I don't know, I just thought it was cool to watch.
Yeah.
I was really enjoying his performance, especially when he kills Jared Leto's character and he's like dancing around in like the raincoat and like with the axe and everything.
Oh my God, can we talk about how him like mansplaining music to everybody has a totally different meaning yeah. in 2021, because all men think they know the most about music. This is our misandry yeah. just like never hides itself in these episodes, but literally it's so true. They all just like want to, like, they'll like sit yeah. you down and they'll be like, I think this really popular album is so cool and people don't realize this about it, and you're like yeah. what, I don't need a music yeah. theory lesson right now.
Yeah, I thought that theme, that like, I thought that was interesting, and I was trying to figure out the significance or why he was doing that every time mm-hmm. he like killed people.
I think it's because the whole point of the movie is that, like, they're all the same person, and they're all so mm-hmm. obsessed with themselves that they can't be bothered mm-hmm. to, like, learn about the other people. So right. it's finally his opportunity to, like, do something he's genuinely interested in. Like, same with, like, the murder. Like, he wants to murder. Like, that's, like, really the only differing part of him from the other characters. It's, like, he gets to make someone listen to him and just, like, hear himself talk. Right.
Yeah. Mm, that makes sense. I also think, like, towards the end of the movie, I don't know about you, but I was, like, sitting there and I was, like, did he do any of this?
I know. And I was just watching
I was questioning the whole thing.
I know. And I was just watching a video, too, that was about this movie and about, like, what, like, if it's, like, deep or stupid or whatever. Like, something like that. I forget the video name. Mm. Whoops. But it was, like, talking about how, like, we see him kill the women and, like, but, like, yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense, like, how he got away with killing the women. And then, like, we see him kill Paul Allen or whatever Jared Leto's character's name is. But then at the end of the movie, he's like, I saw Paul Allen 2 weeks ago.
The lawyer. Yeah. The lawyer. Yeah. But we don't actually see him kill any women except for Christy at the end.
I know. And they just and like their bodies are there. But the whole time we like haven't seen these bodies, we don't see him kill like a lot of these characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was confused.
Me too.
And then he's another interesting part of this entire movie was him constantly being mistaken for someone else and never except for sometimes his friends would call him Bateman, but everyone else surrounding him, Jared Leto mistook him for a higher up, and his lawyer mistook him for someone else, and his entire confession on the phone to his lawyer at the end of the movie is not taken seriously because the lawyer's like, that was so funny, but you shouldn't have used Bateman's name, he's such a loser, he would never do that. And he couldn't, I was, like, getting so frustrated, too, because I was, like, he couldn't convince his lawyer that whatever. And then I was, like, well, is Patrick Bateman real? Because in the beginning of the movie, he was, like, I'm not a human. I'm an illusory sort of, like, projection of humanity. Mm. But I'm flesh and bone, but no part of me is human. And so I was, like, okay. There were just a bunch of layers to this that I, like, found at the end of the movie. And I was, like, it kept making me think, and I was like, interesting.
That's why I found out it was a book, it made a lot more sense, because after I watched this movie, I was kind of like, I don't get any of that, and I feel like I don't know at all what it was trying to say. But then finding out it was a book, it was kind of like, oh, this probably work a lot better as a book, because you can put a lot more nuance and, like, layers in a book with your choices than in a movie where you have a limited amount of time and, like, limited scenes, and, like, you, like, kind of have to have, like, a clear direct in a movie as opposed to a book where you can kind of like leave it open.
And it was a long movie as it is.
Like, oh my god,
it was almost a 2-hour movie.
I fell asleep watching
the beginning. The beginning really dragged on.
Oh my god,
up until the murder of Jared Leto's character, I feel like it was an uphill battle to watch this.
Sorry, movie. Sidebar, why do I always have to look at a man's bare butt in the beginning of movies about men?
I know.
Why?
There was a lot.
I don't know. It's like every single movie and most TV shows where there's men in it, you have to look at them in the shower from behind and see their bare butt. Like, I don't need it. I'm okay. Thank you. I get it.
I don't know. I feel like there's a lot to say about, like, the use of butt, like
butts.
Someone's corporeal being in this.
There's a lot to be said about butts.
A lot to be said about butts. But also, a freaky part of the end of this movie was that he started eating the women.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I even eat some of their brains.
Like, yeah, but he was chasing Christy, and he was, like, gnawing at her ankle. And I was like, when did he start eating people?
That's why it's like, what? Is it even real? Because, like, it just doesn't make any sense, and it comes across as, like, delusions. And, like, this detective, which also, Willem Dafoe playing a character that doesn't really exist in 2 movies. Lighthouse.
Yeah.
He's fake.
But does, what?
In Lighthouse, he's fake, remember?
No. You didn't tell me that after we both watched that movie. He's fake in Lighthouse?
Did I remember that completely wrong?
Robert kills him.
Never mind.
Yeah, he killed
I completely him, forgot about that. Please. Okay. That was a long time ago. We watched that movie before. Did we do an episode?
No, we watched that movie
about Lighthouse.
No, we didn't. We were going to, but we never did.
It's so funny. Okay, that was in the beginning of the podcast though.
Yeah. That was like almost a year ago we watched that movie. Anyway.
Well, the detective is definitely fake if Paul Allen is still alive. Because why would he be investigating him about Paul Allen if Paul Allen was actually alive?
But he like, yeah, I guess that makes
unless
sense
he was missing for real. But then the lawyer's like, I saw him 2 weeks ago.
Or I was talking to my friend and she had this theory after I explained like part of the movie to her today. Could part of it also be that his business partners and coworkers don't want his actions to be made like a scene, so they sort of like maybe cover up for his behavior and just push everything under the rug?
I don't know.
Could that be like a commentary on like corporate America? Like, yeah. I don't want to get into like seeking out symbolic plot lines and behaviors, but like it seems like the detective knew what he did.
Right.
He had the Huey Lewis CD. He like was speaking very cryptically.
Yeah. But then that also is like if it was a delusion, like that would also make sense. I don't think it's that they covered up for him, because constantly he's trying to like, he's like saying things out loud that are so like offbeat, like literally when he tells his fiance that he has homicidal tendencies and she doesn't even hear him. I think the whole point of the movie is that all these people are so obsessed with themselves and they're like caught up in the competition of like capitalism that like they're not even paying attention to this like awful thing that's happening, even though the guy is so obvious about it and people are just disappearing. I agree. And, like, no one knows anything about him.
Yeah. I agree. That was my initial read of the movie before I started thinking, like, way too analytically of it and, like, falling down rabbit holes. But I thought it was interesting. What did you think about his confession after he went on that, like, shooting spree and then the helicopters were looking for him and then out of the blue, he called the lawyer and confessed to everything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I feel like that kind of contradicts his behavior in the entire, like, from the beginning of the movie. Because he was so robotic and, like, uncaring about all of it. And then all of a sudden, he feels the need to confess. Like, what? It's not like, I don't think his conscience caught up with him, because the end of the movie is him saying, like, this confession meant nothing to me and, like, all of this stuff.
Yeah, and, like, yeah, I thought that was weird, too, because that also has to do with the fact that I was, like, why are we, like, what is happening? I don't get it. Because all of a sudden he's talking about all these people that he murdered, and you're like, when did that happen? Did I miss, like, an hour of the movie where he was just killing people? And at one point I even remember thinking, I'm like, where's all the murder in this movie? I feel like this movie was played up as, like, this thriller where, like, this guy is just going crazy and he's, like, using an axe on everybody. But then, like, I've seen, like, one murder. Not that I'm, like, murder, but, like, I thought there was murder.
Well, when you see all of the bodies in that apartment, you're like, I missed something, because never once did I see that happen.
Maybe 20 times I went back and checked that I didn't miss, like, 30 minutes of the movie. Because I fell asleep watching the first part of it, but I remembered, it was like, I remembered exactly where, like, the last thing I heard as I was falling asleep. So I was like, where did I miss something?
Yeah.
I just was confused. I don't know why. That's why I think it would work better as a book, where you can do, like, chapters of things, or, like, we can kind of see that we didn't miss anything in a book. Like, if all of a sudden this stuff comes up, and it would be, you just feel like you missed something.
Yeah. Yeah, it was confusing.
It was confusing.
And maybe it's supposed to be confusing.
I think it is.
But, like, the ending narration is, like, also so confusing, because right before then, he's confessing to a lawyer and trying to have him hear the truth, and then he's like, whatever. It means nothing to
me. That's why I'm a firm believer right now. Like, I don't really know. I'm a firm believer. Actually, I don't really know. that it is all in his head, because of the way the narrative flips so much and how he can't decide what the storyline is. And, like, I don't know. Just, like, no one seems to know anything about this. And, like, that's part of the plotline of, like, no one pays attention to anybody else. They're all narcissists. But at the same time, like, I don't know. There's just, like, no concreteness to his murders. And, like,
Not
the only
all.
Thing we have that someone else notices is when Gene gets his like agenda or like his notebook and like sees all the like yeah. awful drawings in it. But even then, like yeah. that just could also be evidence that it's in his head because he's like fantasizing and drawing it out.
Yeah, that's what I thought at the end. I did think, I was like, okay, and he's drawing at lunch with his fiance, like the scene of the chainsaw mm-hmm. in the yeah, girl. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then at the same time, you're seeing Gene go through his notebook with all of these names as like for like lunch dates or mm-hmm. whatever. Basically, their entire business was just setting up lunch
yeah, literally.
Meetings, which I thought was so funny. I thought that was such a like funny way to poke fun.
Oh
at,
my
like,
god, yeah.
The corporate jobs.
Yeah, and just like but, the menial problems of like. The business cards yeah. and getting into like Doria or whatever that restaurant was called.
Dorcia. The way that Dorcia like not getting a reservation was like
it was a character oh conflict. God. Like all of them it were competing to get into Dorcia.
Yeah, but you see Gene going through and seeing all of his drawings of like probably what he's just fantasizing about and that, and then yeah. That's why I thought it was fake. It, like, didn't really happen. Yeah.
And I think you pointed out that scene where it, like, it cuts from, like, there's, like, oh my god, I don't remember what it's called, but I took film class in high school and we learned about what it's called. It's an editing technique. You learned this in film criticism, too.
Yeah.
Where, like, it dissolves into a different thing using an item in the shot.
And using an object? Yeah. Yeah. What scene was that?
The drawing scene, because you're looking at the dead girl's body with the chainsaw in it.
Oh, yes.
And then it fades into the drawing on the table. And then all he says in that diner is he's like, I have homicidal tendencies or like something like that. Like, or he says something, but like, he doesn't say like, I'm literally murdering people. He's like, I have homicidal tendencies.
Yeah. He's like, I can't control myself. Mm-hmm. Oh, can we talk about Reese Witherspoon being
in this
movie?
Oh my god, yeah. She was kind of good in it. I really liked her.
She was yeah. good in it. She played... Well, I was thinking about this. Her character is, like, a nagging fiancé. Mm-hmm. And I thought, like, the beginning of Legally Blonde, which was made a year after this movie came out, I was like, oh my god, it's like a pre-Elle Woods.
It's like if Elle Woods stayed with Warner for... Like, if Warner yes. didn't break up with Elle Woods.
It is literally like that.
I love Legally Blonde text-to-text connections.
Text-to-text connection. I do feel like we're making video essays for, like, a high school English class when we talk about these movies.
Does this not feel like a Socratic seminar?
Oh, my God. Don't bring up Socratic
seminars. Are our English teachers proud? That's all I want to know.
I hope they are. I hope they're listening. Oh, my God. Could you imagine if our English teachers from high school listened to this? Wait, this would be such a good learning tool to, like, play a clip of this for a high school class.
To be...
Any, like, our overrated movies series.
To, like, look at critical thought.
Anyways, if teachers want to use our podcast as a learning tool, you can.
This would be a project in an English class, though. I feel like we've done something like this. It was. It's like, record yourselves having a conversation.
Skylar, we did this our junior year.
Wasn't it called, like, a radio class? Thing or whatever? Yeah, like radio weird. Interview.
Yeah.
Look Anyways. At us now. We're doing a school project for fun now. That's so
for fun.
So scary.
Are you okay. kidding?
Okay.
Another like really minute point that I noticed, and I was wondering like, I don't know. I just was wondering about this. Was the subtle beating around the bush mention of the AIDS crisis that happened in the 80s? It was like referenced. Very vaguely yeah. and abstractly twice in the movie. And I was like, that's interesting that it's not really developed any further. But I guess maybe for, like, straight corporate white mm-hmm. men in the 80s, that was what it was. It was, like, a one-off phrase.
Completely.
And not on the forefront of your mind. But I was just like, oh, they're just, like, casually mentioning, like, the AIDS crisis.
Yeah.
For no reason.
That totally goes back to what you said, though, before, too. You're like, his work was literally him, like, making lunch reservations and, like, trying to get, yeah. like, and, like, there's one scene where he started listening to music at his desk, and, like, that's the only time we see yeah. him, like, in the office. Like, I think this whole movie's about, like, 80s rich men who just, like, could do whatever they wanted, and, like, the world's problems yeah. were not their problem. I mean, still are not their problems, and, like, yeah. there's even that scene yeah. where they're all talking about, like, world problems. Like, that guy's, like, what about what's happening in, like, I forget where he says, like, Somalia or something. And yeah. then Patrick Bateman's, like, well, first we have to solve this crisis, and then the world hunger, and then, like, it's, like, never mentioned again, and then we also see him kill a homeless man, so, like,
yeah,
they
exactly.
don't actually care.
It's just conversation.
Yeah.
It's, and they're like, they're the men that could have the power or the money to, like, influence change in those
yes.
areas. But it's just using world problems as conversation pieces to sort of just, like, boost up, like, seem intelligent.
Yeah, it's still part of their
worldly.
Competition.
Yeah, it's definitely rooted in, like, the competition for social capital, social status. And, like, and also it's mentioned that Patrick Bateman's dad owns the company.
Yes.
And he can do whatever
yes,
he wants.
Yes, I noticed that, too.
And I was like, okay, so this guy works in an empty office. He talks about only lunch reservations. The only time he talks business is with Jared Leto's character. Mm-hmm. Where he's mistaken for a higher-up and he's trying to steal Jared Leto's account.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't know what the account's for. You have no idea, like, what this company does. At one point, he says he works on Wall Street, but I couldn't tell if he was lying or not.
I know. I do not know. I mean, I guess. I don't know.
It didn't seem like a... It didn't seem like a Wall Street job.
No, it didn't.
I don't know. I feel like if you're going to put a Wall Street job in a movie, it's going to be stereotypical, like, Wolf of Wall
yeah,
Street.
Yeah, like, they're all screaming and, like, yelling on the phone. Yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't like that at all, so.
I mean, stocks aren't real anyway, so, like, who actually cares?
Oh, my God. I have a friend who's... I have a friend who checks the stock market. He'll go, good day in the stocks today. My friend now will go, shut up.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear about this fake thing you
I don't
want to
hear about the three letters you're invested in, okay?
Stock market isn't
not me.
Real. Anyways.
Wait, Emily, I have a question for you, because when I was watching this movie, I was like, I feel like Emily's going to get a little bit scared.
Yeah.
Did you get a little scared?
I did get a little scared. When we were talking about the scene where Christie's running around finding all the bodies, mm-hmm. I got a little freaked out.
Yeah.
It wasn't scary, though. It's just that last scene.
It's like an intense tonal shift, for sure.
Yeah. Then it becomes a horror movie. Mm-hmm. And it was freaky, but it only lasted, like, 2 minutes.
I mean...
And then it was over.
The palsy was kind of gruesome, too.
Yeah, but you never really saw it's not like it was, like, Midsommar, where you see the faces getting bashed
Oh,
in.
Yeah,
like,
well,
it
that's...
It was just the...
A whole yeah. other thing.
So, it was... I wasn't scared. Like, I could handle... Guys, don't worry. I could handle this. I'm a horror movie
baby. I can handle
baby.
This.
But yeah, it wasn't that bad. But I will admit, when we were just talking about that scene, I did get a little bit freaked out.
I mean, yeah, it was... They did a good job at, like, making it kind of like a thriller.
Yeah.
I will tell you my story now. Emily has been
oh
waiting
God,
to hear
yeah,
the story for 2 days. So the first night I watched this movie was, like, the Saturday, and I was like, I'll watch it before bed because I have all day tomorrow to watch it, too. Mm-hmm. So I was watching it knowing I'd probably fall asleep during it, but I don't get scared of things very easily. It really has to either be late at night or freaky for me to get scared. I didn't get scared, but I went to bed, and then all of a sudden I woke up, and I opened my eyes, and so my bed has...
Oh, my God.
Emily, it was totally my imagination. But,
Okay.
I opened my eyes, and my bed has, like... My bedside table is against a wall, and then my bed's on the other side of the bedside table, so there's, like, an alley for me to walk to go to bed. I open my eyes, and I'm looking at that wall, and the split second I open my eyes, I see a shadowy figure standing up and running out of the alley. And I literally...
Skylar!
I literally gasped. I heard myself gasp. I didn't even, like, before I could even process,
oh my God, oh
I
my
gasped.
God.
And I got so scared that I had to turn on my flashlight and look around my room to make sure there wasn't a person in my room.
Skylar, fuck. Skylar, are you joking? No. I would shit
my
pants.
Yeah, I did. I Skylar, gasped out loud. I've never had an out loud yet. Girl, I don't know. It was scary, too. This is going to freak you out. My sister, she was sitting in my room with me before I went to bed, and she goes, or no, this was in the car before I went home, but she was like, I was telling my friend about how you used to have sleep paralysis. Like, do you still believe there's a ghost in the house? And I was like, no.
Shut and the then that fuck happened. Up, Skylar. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Not that. And then the next day, you were like, let me finish American Psycho.
I mean, I didn't think the movie was scary. It's just so funny. Like, I mean, yeah, I literally was like, okay. Like, that didn't happen the night that I watched The Conjuring. It didn't happen the night I watched The Conjuring 2. It happened the other night, and I was like, cool.
It's the ghost of American capitalism coming to get you.
Maybe that's the reason I had sleep paralysis. I've only ever had sleep paralysis in this room.
Well, you know my story of when I was a kid at my old house, and I was sleeping, and then I opened my eyes, and I saw a dark figure at the foot mm-hmm. of my bed.
I remember this.
And I put my I put my sheet over my head, and I said, it's here, it's here. And I woke up screaming, and my brother started screaming because I was screaming, and my parents were like, what is going on? I told my friend that the other day, and she was like, Emily, what? She was like, that is so freaky. And I was like, I don't know what it was. I don't think about it that often. I don't know what it was.
That's so funny because that's like the stereotypical youngest child in a horror movie. Like, the youngest kid is always the one who sees the demon first. Like, you could have made your family a horror movie family.
I don't know. We were good, though, after that. I don't think about it. I think we're good. I think we're okay.
Oh, my God.
I also wondered, this is a complete, I'm not even going to try
just
and transition 180, this back
just 180.
To you guys. The two prostitutes that he had in his apartment in the beginning.
That he, like, named.
Yeah, Christy, who comes back, but then the other girl doesn't come back.
Yeah, Sabrina. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think she's dead? I mean, she left the apartment, but.
I mean, if he, oh, yeah. I mean, we see that he. I don't know, because that's what the movie's confusing, is, like, he's already killed someone, so it's not like there's, like, a escalation of his, so maybe that's, like, maybe it's, like, a thing where some of it's real, because we also see him kill a dog, like, when he kills the homeless man.
That was so upsetting.
Oh, I was, like, so angry, and then he was about to put the cat in the ATM, and I was, like, screaming, I was, like, I will stop watching this movie right now.
That whole scene with the homeless man and the dog, I was like,
sick. And
I was sick to my stomach. It was gross. I was like, the dialogue before that, then how he just kills him.
Yeah, he's like,
and then he kills a dog on top of it, and it's like, what the hell? I thought he was just gonna like murder.
I thought he was just gonna murder
better,
people.
But I thought he was just gonna murder women.
Well, you and I are. It's because you and I are used to seeing violence against women in the media. So
yeah, yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah. You Emily's like looking behind her now. Emily's like looking over her shoulder. Like,
I wish I could describe. Like, I'm in a room that just fits a piano and a couple of chairs. Like, I'm in a small space.
I mean, yeah. If you've ever been to a school, high school, or college that has or middle school that has practice rooms, like music practice rooms, you know what they're like. They're like dingy and scary, and like
you know how
they're like. There's like one fluorescent light in it.
I was just gonna say one fluorescent light. Oh my god. Anyways. I thought that was interesting. Another thing that I was, again, left me with a big, big fat question mark over my head was his whole, I have to go return some tapes.
Yeah.
Now, I thought he was using that in the beginning as an alibi against the detective, but then he says it as he's leaving after he breaks up with Evelyn. Yeah. And then on the phone with the lawyer, he's like, I have it all on tapes. The girls have seen it. So I'm like, where are these tapes? Because we only see him recording once.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be, like, this whole other plot where, like, he started putting the movies he made, like, in the video store. Because he had, like, real pornography before. So I thought, like, he was going to put that in the video store, and it was going to be, like, this whole thing where it's, maybe. Like, evidence, but then, like, nothing ever came of it. So I don't know, maybe it was just, like, a stupid line.
I don't know. I just hated that there were some loose ends to this movie. And I can't tell if they were intentional or not, which is just, like, doubly upsetting.
Yeah, really. One line that I did really enjoy, though, and I think, like you said, Christian Bale says it perfectly, is when someone's like, you're late to him, and he goes, I'm a child of divorce. Well, I forget what he says exactly. Wait, I wrote it down.
He's like, I'm a child of divorce. Like, give me a break or something.
Yeah, he says, says, I'm a child of divorce. Give me a break. But it's so funny. It's just like, yeah, like, the only problem, like, rich white men have is that they might be a child of divorce, which...
Exactly.
...is not inherently that bad.
I did think that was funny. There were, like, one-liners in there that were just, like, they just caught me off guard. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't expect to be laughing, but I think their behavior is so over the top and so stereotypical that it's, like, hard not to find the humor in it as well as, like, the freaky aspects.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Reese Witherspoon's... every scene she's in was just so funny because she just plays the part perfectly, like, not paying attention to anything anybody else is saying and then just, like, yelling at him and being like, I want a commitment. Like, I don't know. She was just so funny. Yeah. Love you, Reese. Should we join her book club?
I mean, what happens when you join her book club? You just, like...
I think you literally just sign up to get sent books that she's reading.
Yeah, like, we can just look up what those books are by
the way. I'm pretty sure also the books get marked with, like, Reese Witherspoon's book club. Because I remember I bought...
But they do.
In a Dark, Dark Wood, and it was, like... Reese Witherspoon was on the cover.
I have that too. I have that book too. It says the same.
God, yeah, that book was like bad. Did you like that book?
I don't remember. I think I liked the end, but I didn't. It was hard to. I don't actually remember what happens.
I thought the. I remember thinking like the idea was good, but just the writing was bad.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember it, so I probably didn't like it that much.
I just remember like writing the margins, being like, "This is stupid."
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Oh, well, one thing I will say was this, I don't remember it that much either, but when he walks into the strip club for the first time, there's a song playing, and I just remember thinking, this sounds like Bo Burnham.
That's so funny. Were they at drag bars?
Oh, I don't remember.
Or just strip clubs? I literally couldn't tell. I couldn't tell because it looked like there was, like, lip-syncing performances happening, and I was thinking if they were, like, talking about AIDS and they were in, like, a gay bar or a drag bar, like, is that... like
I doubt they'd be in a drag bar.
That's what I thought, but there were, like, girls in these costumes and, like, doing, like, lip-syncing things. And I couldn't tell if it was a drag bar or not. I, like, couldn't tell.
I don't remember is sad. Like, why is my memory so bad?
Because it wasn't, like, a stereotypical stripper club where... Stripper club?
Okay. Stripper club. Strip club.
Where, like, there weren't... I didn't see poles anywhere. Yeah. I didn't, like... It didn't come across... Like, it looked like there was a stage with, like, performances happening. And I was like, why are these corporate men at a drag bar? Like, this doesn't seem
right. No, there's no way. Like,
I don't think they were. I wish they were at a drag. Oh my God. Could you imagine?
They, like, go to drag race.
Trixie Mattel is, like, on stage.
They go to drag race. Oh my God, I wish.
They go to drag race. Oh my God.
Trixie Mattel makes this movie 10 times better. If Trixie and Katya were just in this movie, just, like, reacting to everything.
Okay, but imagine Katya as Patrick Bateman.
Okay. Now we're on to something.
I think we're on to something.
I think we're on to something, and we're going to stop talking so no one steals our idea. Katya,
we email
have your
Katya.
People contact our people.
Yeah, that was just I'm trying to think. I haven't spoken to a lot of men about this movie because I've never seen it, and I've never heard I think stereotypically Patrick Bateman is a character that men who don't understand what satirical media is take on as they take him on as sort of this just like Tyler, they take him on as sort of this like
it's all these characters. If you don't understand all of these that characters. It's being made fun of, you just look at it as cool.
Yeah, and they look up to him as like a pillar of like what it means to be a man, which is where like the basic misunderstanding is in these movies. And I don't know. I feel like that, I feel like just like Fight Club, it seems so obvious. And so I'm just interested in how it became. I think, I mean, when it's talked about in media, I think most people are like, oh yeah, it's satire of mm-hmm. like the yuppie culture in the 80s. But still there are like gifs and posts and pictures from scenes from this movie that romanticize it mm-hmm. and idealize it,
yeah.
which is so interesting to me because, like, after watching the whole thing, like, they must just not watch the movie. They must just see the clips and think it's, like, aesthetically. Right? Because after seeing that movie, how could you do that?
I think also it's part of it where not necessarily they don't understand that it's satire. It's just that, like, they know it's a funny movie, but they still think the character is cool. Like, they're like...
Yeah.
I think... Maybe it's not that they don't understand that it's supposed to be making fun of these people, but they're like, it's still cool to have money and, like, do whatever you want and treat women, yeah. like, crap and, like, just, you know, whatever, and be rich. But they're right. like, it's in the context of a movie, so it's allowed to be ridiculous and, like, the lines are funny. It's almost like how in Pulp Fiction, like, people love quoting the dialogue. So, like, because they love quoting the dialogue, they love the characters and, like,
right.
I don't know. And, like, just, like, his life just seems so, like, perfect, like, on the very surface. And, like, the video I was watching yeah. was talking about how, like, there was, like, a whole line of fashion, like, based around Patrick Bateman's fashion. And then, like, there's, what? Like, articles on how to, like, replicate his, like, routine. Like, people still want to be that type of person, like, that man, even though yeah. we all can agree that there are such major problems that come with it.
Even though he literally is he is a representation of how capitalism brainwashes mm-hmm. us and creates narcissistic, money-hungry business moguls
yes.
that could be blind to a man saying, I guess we don't know, that he's murdering women. And the lengths that, like, and the lengths that people will go to for, like, money and power
oh, yeah.
and the madness that corporate America can drive people too.
Even on a more basic level, it just makes fun of how stupid these people are. Like, they're all obsessed with each
yeah.
other themselves. They don't know
yeah.
each other. They don't care to learn about each other. Like, they're just so in, like, wrapped up in themselves, and, like, the stuff that they compete
yeah.
over is stupid, like business cards and, like, getting into a restaurant.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's supposed to be seen as stupid, but people are still like, I want to be rich, I want to be toxic masculine.
Yeah, exactly.
Masculine man.
Yeah, I was reminded of, I think, Anthony from Queer
mm-hmm.
Eye did a video for what, maybe probably a magazine. It was on YouTube, and it was, like, a recreation of the morning routine scene from American Psycho. And I think it was probably just for, like, an artistic
mm-hmm.
choice. But the fact that even today it is still, like, ingrained in our mainstream
yeah.
media as something to replicate, like, it's a character that is rich and has this apartment and has all of these things, but also in his kitchen has a closet filled with duct tape and weapons.
Yeah.
Like, he's
he's a psycho.
He's a murderer. He's a psycho.
He's a psycho.
He's a psycho.
Yeah, and that's, like, the title of the movie, just to wrap it up, is, like, who's the real American Spyco? Yep. Yeah. I love speaking English. It's actually my favorite language.
You got it.
Thank you.
Ask the question.
Who's the real American Psycho? Is it Patrick Bateman, or is it literally everybody in the movie?
Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to
also,
it.
All the parallel, all the calls of attention to Trump, I just think are so funny.
Oh my god, yeah.
It just reminds me, too, of Sex and the City, how, like, they always,
yeah.
like, they talk about Trump a couple times, and I'm just like, it's just
yeah.
so funny how in all these movies, like, they just talk about him, like, because he was such a part of New York culture. It's so funny.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know.
Gross.
Ridiculous.
And awful. But
so disgusting and repulsive.
Okay.
Nah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess those were kind of our final
yeah.
thoughts. I don't know if we...
Who's the real American Spyco is my final thought.
Spyco. Well, I liked this movie more. Let's rank it again.
Okay.
Let's just do a little rank
okay.
again. We've seen, what, like, four? My list would probably go Fight Club, American Psycho, Wolf of Wall Street, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Best to worst.
Yeah. Honestly, Pulp Fiction and Wolf of Wall Street are, like, on the same level to me, so, like, they could both be last place. For last. So, yeah.
Agree.
Yeah.
Agree. I think this movie is really interesting, and, like, I won't read the book, but I think it would have been interesting to have read the book.
Yes.
And I do think that there's really good commentary here on, just, like, capitalism,
America, masculinity,
toxic masculinity. This movie does not pass the Bechdel test. I don't think two women
speak to each other. No, even the two prostitutes don't. They don't say a single word to each other.
Yeah. So, yeah, there are good things about this movie. There are bad things about this movie. Like, it's not perfect. No. But I think that it was. I think it was well done.
This one didn't make me feel so violently offended. So.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Sad that the bar is that low, but it's a good thing.
Exactly. Exactly. I hope that was, like, enjoyable for people to listen to.
I hope it's not as boring as your English class actually is.
Yeah.
But listen, send us ideas, send us suggestions. It can be literally anything. It can be games, movies, TV shows, books, celebrity things, celebrity birth charts, anything. We'll do anything for
you. Someone did comment on our TikTok asking about ScarJo and Colin Jost's Sinistry, and I was like, that is such a good point. We did not look that up, so we can mention that in another astrology thing if people want to hear astrological.
It might have been Meg, it might have been someone else. I can't remember, but we'll say in the episode if we do it. Someone else DM'd us and said that we should do celebrity Sinistry charts for couples.
Yes, and also someone also said to talk about, like, favorite movie book tropes, stuff like that, which is something, obviously, that we are interested
in. Yeah, hot topic on TikTok.
We are taking all of it into consideration. One person suggested this to us, and we did it within 6 hours.
One person commented that we should do video, and we were like, okay, yeah, next week we're doing video.
Yeah, no, next week we'll do
it. We're changing completely how we do things for this one comment. Like, literally, we'll do anything for the people.
Anything for the people. So keep DMing us. Keep listening. Thank you to everyone who is listening and
supporting the pod.
In the meantime, we love you guys. In the meantime, you can follow our social media. It's all linked in the description. And yeah, there will be a Let's Talk with M coming out.
Yeah.
I will be talking about some of my favorite movies and why I like them and stuff like that. So if you're interested in that, look out for that. I'll be doing that.
Look out.
Soon.
Coming at some point.
At some point soon.
Soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.